Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. The British government is accusing Russia of wanting to replace Ukraine's government with a pro-Moscow administration, saying former Ukrainian lawmaker Yevheny Muryev is being considered as a potential candidate. The UK government made the claim based on an intelligence assessment without providing evidence to back it up. Moscow rejects the allegation, calling it disinformation. Meanwhile, 90 tons of what the U.S. calls lethal aid has arrived in Ukraine amid tensions over Russia's troop buildup along the border. NPR's Rob Schmitz has more from Kiev.
It was the first shipment of a recently approved package of U.S. military aid for Ukraine, and it included ammunition for the country's frontline defenders. The delivery followed U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit to Kiev this week, where he warned of a tough response if Russia invades Ukraine. Moscow has denied any plans to attack or invade Ukraine. President Joe Biden approved the $200 million security support package in December.
NPR's Rob Schmitz. Secretary Blinken posted a tweet today praising the Baltic nations of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania after they announced that they will send U.S.-made anti-tank and anti-aircraft missiles to Ukraine. Thousands of people gathered in European capitals today protesting vaccine passports and other government measures meant to end the pandemic. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports many governments are cracking down.
Demonstrators were out in Paris, London, Athens, Helsinki, and Stockholm. A vaccine pass goes into effect Monday across France. People will now have to show a proof of vaccination if they want to enter public places like cinemas and restaurants or take trains and planes. Negative tests will no longer be accepted. 3,000 demonstrators marched through central Stockholm, where vaccine certificates are required to attend indoor events with more than 50 people. In Helsinki, people protested the Finnish government's allowing local authorities to introduce strict measures in response to rising Omicron cases. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
In California, evacuations are underway after a wind-driven wildfire in the Big Sur area broke out last night in a canyon. Pushed by strong winds, the fire jumped Pacific Coast Highway and burned toward the sea. Parts of that highway are now temporarily closed. Kirk Effel is president of the Big Sur Chamber of Commerce.
We're trying to assess how long will that closure likely be? What's the level that we can maintain our operations for those guests who are in the area south of the closure and the fire? And of course, you know, keeping an eye on, is this fire likely to spread?
He says this area hasn't burned for decades, as far as he knows. Fire officials say the fire is now 20% contained and has burned some 1,500 acres. Strong winds recorded across the San Francisco Bay Area and a swath of Nevada overnight, knocking down trees and taking out power. This is NPR. Ethiopia's deputy army chief has said the military will eliminate Tigrayan forces despite earlier indications of a possible thaw in relations between the two sides. Military officials told state-affiliated media that the army was planning to enter the regional capital. The BBC's Mary Harper has more.
General Abba Tadese said people shouldn't think the current lull in fighting meant the war was over. His belligerent tone comes as something of a surprise. Earlier this month, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed called for national reconciliation and political prisoners were released. The TPLF has said it's committed to finding a peaceful solution. There have been frantic diplomatic efforts to build on this apparent thaw in relations, with two senior American diplomats visiting Addis Ababa this week to push for a ceasefire.
The BBC's Mary Harper reporting. In Afghanistan, a bomb attached to a packed minivan exploded in western Herat province today, killing at least six civilians and wounding nine others, three of whom are in critical condition. This according to the Taliban. No one has immediately claimed responsibility for the explosion, although ISIS has claimed credit for similar attacks on civilians and the country's new Taliban leaders elsewhere in the country since the group seized power on August 15th. Today's bombing was the first such attack in Herat. Officials say the bomb was attached to the van's fuel tank and that the investigation continues. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.